Time now to talk about men and their sheds. From a byword for solitary tinkering, the men's shed has become a global movement about connectedness. From a single shed in Australia in the 1990s to more than 2,800 worldwide, men's sheds are sources of community and well-being from the UK to the US, in Denmark, Iceland, even Kenya. Women's sheds are springing up too. But can the men's shed movement really be an equal opportunity tinkerer, I suppose? Professor Barry Golding has been a leading researcher in the benefits of men's sheds. He's documented the movement in his first book, The Company of Men, back in 2015. And he's just produced a new 2021 post-COVID edition called Shoulder to Shoulder, Broadening the Men's Shed Movement, that's been described as a monumental piece of work of love for an international phenomenon. Professor Barry Golding, welcome to Radio National.
Thank you, Julian.
First up, can you just remind us about when and where and why the men's sheds first started?
Okay, the first, it's a long story, but in very brief, the first shed was in Goolwa in South Australia, opened in 1993. By 1998, the first shed emerged, which was called a men's shed, and that was actually in Tongala in Victoria, and another one in the same year in 1998 in Lane Cove. And since then, it's just basically been in exponential growth in Australia. And it's, there's around 1,300 in total around Australia at the moment, which is about 50 for every million people in Australia, which is pretty phenomenal. They're pretty much everywhere.
Mm. And the men's shed has been described about the universal value of, quote, having somewhere to go, something to do, and someone to talk with. You've devoted a lot of your career to giving the benefits of men's sheds a rigorous evidence base. What does that evidence tell us about the benefits?
The evidence shows that it's mainly older men beyond paid work. The median shedder age in Australia is around 70, so half of the men are older 70, so it's a seriously old demographic. Mm. Somewhat younger in some other countries, probably closer to 60 in Ireland. Different everywhere, but I guess the huge benefit is on the health and well-being of men and their families and the communities, and thus the movement is supported in some way by the Australian Men's Sheds Association. Mm. But look, sheds have had most traction in smaller rural towns, but also in places where there's been disasters like bushfires in Australia, the millennial drought in Australia, a lot of sheds popped up in western New South Wales. The movement in Ireland was actually kick-started by the global financial crisis in Ireland.
That's interesting.
And in New Zealand, they spread on the Canterbury Plain after the Christchurch earthquake. So it's sometimes it's a response by communities to the needs of men who find themselves in a difficult situation.
In Shoulder to Shoulder, you really do focus on the global reach of the men's shed model, and you've sort of identified a few countries for us already. Exactly how far have men's sheds spread, and are the men's sheds around the world essentially the same as the original Aussie ones?
They are essentially the same. The model is obviously tweaked slightly in places like Denmark, where if you called it a men's shed, it wouldn't make sense. They're called men's meeting places, and it's there, interestingly, it's just for men. But they're just so diverse. They exist in the UK from the Isle of Wight in the south to the Orkneys in Scotland. There's sheds in Ireland within refugee centres and in a prison. In the US, they now stretch from Florida and Minnesota to Hawaii. In Canada, they go from Squamish in British Columbia up to Cold Lake in Alberta. But look, there's also sheds in suburban Copenhagen, as you mentioned, in Iceland, Kenya, and in the Cayman Islands. So it's just very, very diverse. And they're reaching particular groups in different situations. In Australia, there's Aboriginal men's sheds in suburban Sydney. There's a shed in suburban Adelaide, which is just for war veterans. There's another shed in Adelaide in Christie Downs, which is just working for people with dementia and acquired brain injury. And then, so it's just, it's very diverse. And what I've documented in the book is that diversity and how the model might be tweaked to be broader, including in involving women.
Yes, I didn't expect to read about women's sheds in the men's shed book. Can you tell us about how far women's sheds have come? It's not on the same scale as the men's sheds, is it?
No, it's about 5% of the number of men's sheds, but 124 is an incredible when you consider that the first one started in 2010. Half of the women's sheds in the world are in Australia. Most of the rest are in the UK and Ireland. What interested me when I did the case studies, the 130 case studies in my book, is the extent to which some existing men's sheds are actually already embracing women, and also the extent to which women's sheds are just so diverse already. You've got she sheds in England, you've got some proudly women-only sheds in Australia and Ireland and England, but you've also got some sheds which are mixing it up, where they do a men's shed on, say, 2 days a week, women's sheds on 2 days a week, and a makerspace for young hipsters on another day, and another operation making coffins for deceased loved ones on another day. So,
well, it certainly does cover quite a wide range.
Well, that last one was actually in Ulverston, in Tasmania, the Central Coast Community Shed. Some of them are just doing stunning things, and that's what has amazed me when I researched this book.
On Radio National, we're speaking with Professor Barry Golding about his new book, Shoulder to Shoulder, Broadening the Men's Shed Movement. Barry, you write that it's time to ask how sheds might become what academics call intersectional, that is, to broaden their reach across gender, age, race, cultural background, sexual orientation and ethnicity. I must admit, I never thought I'd hear the words intersectional men's shed strung together. What do you mean by that?
Well, men's sheds the men's shed movement has always embraced all men, but some sheds are less good at doing that. And I think my book is basically saying it's probably more older white men in most men's sheds, and I'm just saying it need not be like that. 30% of Australians were born in a non-English-speaking nation, and I think we have to get better at involving not only people from diverse cultural backgrounds, but also crossing boundaries in relation to gender and First Nations peoples. And I think it can be more diverse. And in the end, men's sheds should represent the needs of the wider Australian population, including women in some cases, I think.
So, Barry, you're clearly in favour of a broader, more accessible vision of men's sheds. Is there much resistance to that vision amongst shedders?
There'll always be pushback in some sheds, but I think a lot of sheds are realising that in order to be sustainable, they've got to move with the times, and the times are changing, including for younger men. And if we're going to if men's sheds are going to embrace younger men, then they need to find new ways of reaching out to the broader demographic, because there are some younger men with acute health and wellbeing needs as well as older men.
We've had a couple of texts in that are interesting on this topic. One from a member, I think, of the men's shed in Forest, Victoria, who apparently have a president who is a woman, but also another text, Barry, which I'd like to get your response to. A text that says, men's sheds might be good fun for men, but the limited benefits don't justify the expenditure of public money. The program evaluation, they say, demonstrates this. What's your response to that?
The amount of money that's spent on men's sheds by the national and state governments is minuscule compared to what's spent on other areas of health and wellbeing. Most sheds have no paid staff. They operate on the smell of an oily rag. They're incredibly efficient, and the benefits significantly outweigh the expense, in my opinion. When you look at the issues of depression, suicide, chronic illness amongst some older men. Men sheds are a sensible and, I believe, a very good way of reaching that otherwise hard to reach demographic.
And in terms of reaching that hard to reach demographic, do you think the all male aspect of men's sheds is sort of integral to the benefits in some cases at least?
It's a complex question, but in short, some men do at that stage of their lives require mainly the company of men, and that's beneficial to them in terms of their health and well-being. Some older men probably benefit from a mixed environment, so it's horses for courses, and all sheds are different, and sheds have to find ways at the local level of dealing with what the community wants. And I'm not prescribing what should happen. I'm saying here are some possibilities, and people who are interested can read the book.
Indeed they can. Professor Barry Golding, thank you so much for joining us on Radio National.
Thank you. It's been a great pleasure.
And Barry Golding is a professor at Federation University in Ballarat, and his new book on the men's shed movement is called Shoulder to Shoulder, Broadening the Men's Shed Movement.